Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you, son. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Appreciate y'all doing that, because I was threatened on the way up here.
Get an age.
What? Age? Yeah. I'll let you ask, huh? Enough. That's what our age. Enough, right? Thank y'all so much. We do love y'all and missed y'all last week. It was good to see Teresa's family and sat down with them. Hadn't done that in quite a while, so I enjoyed that a lot. We miss you. You're our family, too. We've been through a lot in the last several years, haven't we, James? You know, and people passing away and things, but that's life. That's the life of the church, and I thank God that we have each other to lean on. Because we've had some rough times too, and if it hadn't been for y'all, I don't know where we'd be. But thank the Lord for you, and we appreciate everything y'all do for us and our family. We want to go back to John chapter 6, if you remember, Why Judas was just a simple title that I gave this, because Jesus chose Judas. And really, when you read this, this is a type of revelation that God wants us to understand, that the Word, we say we read the Word, but the Word actually reads us. And so the Word is given to us here that Jesus did choose Judas, and he gave Judas every opportunity for 3.5 years to turn things around. But our question is, well, if he knew how Judas was, why did he choose him? Well, I guess I could ask the same question about me. Why did he die on a cross for somebody like me? You know, because he just loves us. His love is beyond compare. But he also gave us some stuff here to learn and to study. So go to John chapter 6, if you will. And last week we started reading in verse 63. It says, in the spirit that quickeneth the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the Spirit, and they are life. Behold, there are some that believe not. Now let's go back to verse 63 there. It said, the Spirit quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. In other words, God was saying here through Jesus that there's an appointed time for everything, and that God's got his hand on all situations. First thing the enemy always puts in our mind when we're going through things is, God, where are you? Where are you? But I want you to understand, God orchestrates things, and he doesn't bring any bad. The Bible says all good things come from God, but when the bad comes, he don't leave us. Does that make sense? He don't walk away from us, and he guides us through these times. So he's saying here, look at the next verse, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Now, what's incredible about this, and I'm just overwhelmed with it, so bear with me this morning. But what's incredible about this is that he's talking to disciples. He's not talking to a crowd of people. He's not on the side of the sidewalk just talking to people. He's talking to men who have made a decision to follow him. He's talking to men that have chosen him, and he's chosen them. And he's saying that you don't understand this moment. That's basically what he's saying. You don't understand what's going on, because there's some of you right now that don't even believe. That's powerful to me. And he says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Now, I don't want to stay right there very long, because I touched it a little bit last week. But when you begin to talk about the superiority of God, the power of God, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, which he's all powerful, God knew. But in the power of God, I want you to understand, he has the power not to know. The reason for that, okay, we get saved, we ask him to come in our heart, and he forgives us of our sins, and the word says never to be remembered again. We got that. We understand that. So, have you ever been going down life's road and a thought comes back of your past life, or a thought comes back, or condemnation comes? Let me tell you what, God didn't do that. That's the enemy. Amen? Understand that. God chooses. That's how powerful He is. And so you say, well, why did He choose Judas, knowing Judas was going to do what he did? Listen, it's the will of God that everybody come to salvation. And really what's going on here is that God is revealing a lie. He's revealing the work of the enemy that comes on our minds and blinds us. And so He wants to reveal that. And He loves Judas enough, even though he knew, He chooses not to know, so that Judas would come in. It was not the will of God that Judas perish. How many of you know that? It's not the will of God that any of us perish, but that we all come to know Him. But we have a choice. And so He's saying here, I knew from the beginning, verse 65. And He said, therefore said unto him, that no man can come to me except who were given to him of the Father. Well, that's powerful right there. What does that mean? That means that you can actually go through the motions of knowing God and not even know it. You can actually go through the motions of knowing God and don't know it. To me, the saddest scripture in the Bible, you remember when Samson was fighting, he was a mighty man of God. What made Samson powerful was the anointing of God on his life. You remember that? And you remember when he was laying his head in Delilah's lap and the enemy come up and he went out. The Bible said he went out just as times of four. In other words, he said, I'm going to go do this just like I've always done it. But God wasn't with him then. And how many of you know he lost his eyes? He lost a lot, didn't he? So God's teaching us to be careful in this last day of religious hypocrisy. That's important. Check your heart. Check your life. Check your spirit to know that God is right there. All right? Can you give me a few more minutes? From the time many of his disciples went, and this is the part that got me. I just had to read it to you again. Bear with me. From that time. Look at verse 65. I want you to get this. And he said, therefore said unto him, that no man come to the Father except to me, except it were given him of my Father. In other words, the Spirit of God draws men. How many of you know you're just going to get up tomorrow and say, I think I'll get saved on Tuesday this week? How many of you know it's an act and ministry of the Holy Spirit? And He draws us. Our life is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everything we are is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He breathes into us. And He speaks to us. He guides us. He directs us every day. Amen. That's that voice that you hear in your spirit when you're about to make a decision. And it'll tell you, no, you don't need to do that. Or you need to go this way or that way. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what God is trying to tell us is that going through the motions is not what brings us to where we need to be with God. We're living in a world today that's going to go to church. And I just got to pour my heart out this morning. They're going to go to church and they're going to walk out and they haven't, nothing's happened, but they think they're okay because they went through the motions. I want you to understand that serving God is a daily relationship. And Jesus is sitting here talking to men that have been with Him day and night, day and night. And He's telling them, you got to be led of the Spirit. And the next scene is that many of the disciples, I'm not talking about the people, disciples, walk away. Look at this verse. Amen. For that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And so Jesus turns to the disciples that are there, and He says, are you going to leave too? And I love Peter because Peter, he's just like us. He said what everybody else was thinking. He said, where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. Jesus, you're everything. You're the Son of God. You're the great I am. And you know, at one time, Jesus was asking, who do men say that I am? And different ones were saying, well, some say Isaiah, some say this, that, and the other. He's saying, but Peter said, but you're Christ, the Son of God. You remember what Jesus said to him? Who remembers? Flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Revelation. So, Simon Peter said that, and so they're staying there, and Simon Peter, it warmed my heart when he said, where are we going to go? So let's break this down a little bit today, why he chose Judas, because first of all, the first thing we got to deal with is religious hypocrisy. Now, what is religious hypocrisy? Religious hypocrisy is a detour from the enemy to get our eyes off the real source. Every one of us have a relationship with people. Every one of us. And there's some people we really like, and there's some people we don't. Amen? Turn to the woman beside you and say, there's some people I don't like. Go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them. You know what? We don't like to admit that, but it's the truth. Amen? But, you know, but what I'm trying to say is there's some we're drawn to and there's some we're drawn away from. So religious hypocrisy, you've got to understand this. Jesus told the disciples here, some of you believe not. The whole reason we're here is because if we can believe, all things are possible. See, the enemy's attacking our belief system. He attacks what we believe. And the first thing he wants to do is to get your eyes off of him and on somebody. I want to tell you something. Your salvation is by faith in God alone. Amen? Now somebody might have helped you, your grandmama, your mama, whatever. They kind of helped you. But when you got saved, you began a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's your friend that sits closer than a brother. And he loves you based, get this, on an unconditional love. We spend our lives many times trying to impress people who really don't care about us at all. Amen? And our whole world is turned because somebody didn't speak to us. Or somebody didn't acknowledge us. Or somebody didn't say hey to us. And what is all that? I want you to understand the enemy is the author of confusion. Now, I'm majorly confused because I'm standing here and there's a mega number of disciples who are supposed to be discipling people for Jesus, and they hear a message saying you got to be led of the Spirit, and they walk away. So I'm blown away. How many of you know the Bible's real? This is not make-up story. This is real. It's in the Bible. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. Let me go ahead and tell you how old school I am. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation, every single word. Every word. And it said they walked away. And did it just say they walked away? It said never to follow him again. So they just throw their hands up. They're disciples. There's 12 guys standing there, Jesus knowing that one of them is the devil, and he says, are you going to leave too? And Peter says, no. And he says, why? And so Jesus says, flesh and blood haven't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So what is he saying? There is truth. And so what you got to understand is that everywhere you go in life, there is going to be false. But in God is truth. Amen? But if you build your life on people, you will get discouraged because the Bible said some of you are not believing. Now, let's look at Judas just a little bit because Judas is a guy that's real mixed up. We automatically know that. But I'm going to tell you this. Put this in your note. Nobody ever suspected Judas of doing what he did. You never hear nothing about it. You might have thought Peter would have done it because he talked too much sometimes. But Judas was the quiet guy. He was the guy, listen, he held everybody's money. So they had to trust him. They had to believe in him. So let's break that down just a little bit. I asked a lot of questions when I went through this, and the Lord really helped me with some good answers. Jesus knows true believers. He knows our hearts. Now, I love you enough to give you the truth this morning. I want to preach to you from this pulpit every time I'm here something to make you think. Be careful of serving God through the motions. Be careful of serving God just because you're used to doing all these things and you really don't need His leading anymore. Be careful about that. Because you can lose the most valuable thing you've got, and that's your relationship with Him. So, first thing I want you to note is a warning. I want you, a warning comes out. Now, why should we be warned? We should be warned because when you break down Judas, you see how he fell into the trap, all right? Outwardly looking at Judas, he looks normal. He looks like a disciple. He looks like somebody that cares. I mean, every function that went on, and this hurts even more, he was there. He saw Jesus heal. He saw Jesus feed the 5,000. He saw all this. But there's a couple things I want you to note this morning. I'm not going to finish this message today because there's so much I want to share with you. But I'm going to give you this. Number one, he had the right association. He was with the right people. Outwardly, he looked normal, and he had the right association with people. What does that mean? He was with the disciples every day. He was friends with Jesus. 3.5 years he walked with Jesus. He was with the right crowd. Let me tell you something. Just because who you are around, and just because your mama was saved, or your grandma was saved, or your granddaddy was a great warrior of God, you got to be careful because you can't live on their salvation. You got to live on your salvation between you and God. Can I hear amen? Amen. So he had the right association. He had the right reputation. Now I want you to picture with me now. They're sitting at the table, the Last Supper. And Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. Nobody ever thought about Judas. Peter even speaks out and says, he says, one of you going to betray me? And Peter speaks out and said, Lord, is it I? And during that time, Jesus reveals, but Judas is sitting there and he's quiet. He's not saying anything to anybody. He's just sitting there. Can you imagine sitting in the press of God, knowing what you're about to do? Now, why is Judas about to do what he did? Because he thought that if he could sell Jesus off, his name would be in lights and he would rise to the top of popularity. Isn't that sad? Rule number one, you need to love who you are. You need to love who you are, and you need to be happy with who you are. That doesn't mean that you don't need to change things. Some things that, you know, falling off, you need to put them back on. And some things you need to, you know what I'm talking about. But you don't need to change for people. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I feel the Lord leading me strong this morning. Because you got to understand, you got to learn to love who you are. And Jesus is sitting right there. And the whole thing he's thinking now, if I do this, boy, they're really going to this. Boy, I tell you, I'm going to be something around this town. Because you got to understand that Judas was doing this because of 30 pieces of silver. He was doing this because he thought that this monetary gain would cause him popularity. Because you got to understand now, Jesus, at this point in his ministry, was turning the world upside down. And he thought, well, if I can come in here, let me tell you something. Write this down in your mind. If you don't want to write it down on paper, love yourself. Enough to know who you are. Because every one of us has that capability of going the wrong way. How many of y'all know that? That's the reason Jesus said, don't judge nobody, because it'll come back to you. Because it's only by grace are we saved, not by works shall we boast. It's by grace alone. Amen. The last thing I want to tell you this morning is that he had the right participation. Judas was a worker. Judas worked. He went out with the disciples. Nobody suspected Judas. But somebody should have asked him, Judas, are you saved? Somebody should have asked him, Judas, are you saved? Because you got the right association, you're hanging around with the right people, you got the right reputation. I mean, you're one of the ones with Jesus, and you're doing the right things, you're working. But what are you doing it for? And we got to really let this come into our heart, people, because there's a lot going on in the world today. And I'm going to leave you with this, because this is going to be the next part we talk about. This is kind of down to me. When I read this kind of stuff right here, it's kind of down. But I want to encourage you. This message actually is an encouraging message, because I want to encourage you. 11 disciples did not quit. Now, one of them was the devil, but 11 did not quit. 11 said, I know the truth. Now, we're living in a time now where the enemy's going to come at you and he's going to try to drag up your past. All right? Remember what this old country preacher told you. God is not doing that. Did you ask the Lord to forgive you? Did you ask him to come to your heart, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Have you ever had anybody that you asked forgiveness for, to, or whatever, and they said, yeah, I forgive you, and everything's supposed to be all right, but the first time you make a mistake, you bring that right back up? That's not how Jesus does. Jesus chooses. What are you talking about? Lord, I'm sorry I messed up 2 years ago. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, Lord, you know, I forgive you. You are forgiven. Never to be remembered again. Forgiveness wipes away all those mistakes. Why do we do this blood thing every Sunday morning? Because what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But when he washes it, he don't go back and pick it up. And there's an enemy out there that will lock you down to what you did, when you did it, the very time you did it. He can bring back remembrance 10 years ago to the detail. But I want to declare from this pulpit today, he is a liar and the father of lies. Amen. Jesus Christ has come here. Why did he choose Judas? He chose Judas to reveal to us the tactics of the enemy and how the enemy can come in and ruin your life in the midst of a perfect environment. Let's go to perfect environments for just a minute. Can you give about 45 more minutes? All right. Let's go to the Garden of Eden. Everything you can think of is there. There's Adam and there's Eve. And everything they need is there. One slides in the garden, and he starts telling them, messing with their mind. And before you know it, in a perfect environment, here's the clincher. Adam and Eve knew, so they had the knowledge. They dwelt with God every day. Amen. And he came in and attacked what they knew. And the first thing he attacked is their relationship with God. Because, did God really say that? Or he's just messing with you?
He's lying to you. He don't want you to be like him. Do you hear what's going on? And they allowed that voice to come in their head. Let me tell y'all something. God loves you. This message is strong as well. I feel such a strong anointing here today. I mean, you see me jumping pews right now. I feel a strong anointing in this place today. God is speaking to hearts today. Don't allow people to take the joy that God has put in your life. Don't allow it to happen. And we're gonna talk about next week the encouraging part of it, that there were 11 disciples that did not quit. You remember when Jesus looked at Judas and said, go do what you got to do. Wasn't that sad? At that moment, he walks away from God. This morning, I want you to check your heart. I want you to look deep down in your heart, because we live in a time of lies. We live in a time of deception. We live in a time when things are trying to get in your head. But number one, and I'm going to close with this, you can never be good enough to be saved. Let's go ahead and clear that up. The devil puts that in you. Well, you're not good enough. You're exactly right, devil. Every time he brings me that junk, I said, you know what? You're exactly right. I am not good enough. I'm not even worthy to be here. But he loves me, and he looks beyond my faults, and he sees my needs. Amen. He looks beyond all that and loves me anyway. So devil, what are you going to do with that? Amen. He loves you anyway. So when he's beating you and telling you, well, you messed up, you done all this. Let me ask you a question. Is anybody in here has never made a mistake? Every one of us has made some, right? Like the guy said, I thought I made a mistake one time, then I realized it wasn't a mistake, so I had never made a mistake. I can't deal with people like that. I can't relate to people like that. So the enemy's going to take that mistake. And if you don't know who you are, he's going to come with that mistake and say, look at this. Look at this. Devil, get thee behind me, because he saved me by his blood. He's cleansed my heart. And I'm on my way to heaven. And you know what? The bottom line, when you go to Kitty Atkins or you go to these hospital rooms or you go to what? The bottom line, you know what the key is? They're ready to go to heaven. That's all that matters. I love y'all. I could keep right on, but I'm going to close right now. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in Northview Church. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way where there don't seem to be a way. Lord, we ask you to take this message, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as he said, some of you don't believe. I pray, Lord, when our belief system is attacked, we'll stand true, God. We'll stand true in what we know. And I pray, God, that we'll check our heart today. And the most important thing in our heart is to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our life. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Why did he choose Judas? To show us that there's hypocritical and there's fake and there's false out there. And we don't need to get caught up in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you.